Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. I'm your host, Preston Schlankhofer, coming to you from the Strategic Command and Control Center deep within Civil Defense Radio bunker. We have a great show for you today, especially since September is National Preparedness Month. Since September is National Preparedness Month, I thought it fitting to start off with information on developing a long-term food supply. Our guest today is Jim Gale, founder of Food Forest Abundance. Jim believes growing our own food is a cornerstone of freeing ourselves from big agriculture and big pharma, which will not only make us happier and healthier, but will also move us toward becoming more self-reliant. And being more self-reliant is what we promote here on Civil Defense Radio. That said, it is my pleasure to welcome Jim Gale to Civil Defense Radio. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Preston, and thank you so much for having me on. I'm thankful and honored to be able to share my message of freedom with everybody listening. It's the most important message in the world, I believe. And what I know for sure is that all paths to lasting freedom must include regenerative local agriculture, agriculture without poisons. And that's what I'm going to share today. Most people think that growing food is hard. And it is absolutely not hard. That is one of the biggest myths that has led to the enslavement of humanity.
Yes, I agree. You know, the American experience had individual property rights as one of the cornerstones of our founding. And with that comes the ability to grow food on your own. And you have a great program going. There were a couple of video links that were sent to me to introduce you and your service to us. And I was amazed some of the things that your guys are doing. But before we get into that, both have a connection to Costa Rica. I have a good friend who lives down there. He's lived down there about 10 years. We were old Army buddies in Germany together. So he's down there, and I've thought about going down and visiting him, but just haven't made it yet. But you lived down there for a while, and there may be some people listening to this podcast who are thinking Costa Rica, because of its large expat population, would be a great place to go and live if something happens in the United States. Can you give us a little insight into what it's like down there?
Yes, I can. I spent 12 years in Costa Rica. My wife is a Costa Rican, and my extended family are Costa Rican, and I absolutely love the culture. I love the people. I am not a fan of their communist government. Their government is going, they've been very socialist minded. And I'll give you a couple examples. It takes like four or five different entities to get a business license to run just about any business in the country. And the entities are inefficient and corrupt on many levels. So you have to pay off or deal with radical inefficiencies. And the last business that I was going to open before I threw the towel in, and in fact, a funny thing down there, if you want to leave Costa Rica with $1 million, bring four. And that was my experience. I brought closer to 20, and I barely got out of there with my shirt. Wow. Now, that being said, still the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. I've lived in 47 countries and a lot of the most beautiful places in the world. Costa Rica is my favorite. The vibration of life. You know, the thing that makes me incredibly sad is, and I don't get sad very often, I really live an inspired life. Like I really focus intentionally on staying positive. But when I imagine that the Costa Rican farmers are using more pesticides and more poisons per acre than just about anywhere in the world, it makes me just about cry, because they're destroying their waterways and some of their natural environment, which they pretend to care so much about. But the powers that be, and this is something very telling, Henry Kissinger back about 50 years ago said, if you want to control nations, control oil. If you want to control people, control food. And this strategy has led to a systematic dismantling of the family farm. And big ag is what is actually the most destructive entity on our planet by far, killing more people than all the world wars combined. And when we start knowing and realizing what big ag has done to our world, and then we start focusing on the solutions, that's when we literally can have abundance everywhere. It's, in fact, this idea of the Garden of Eden being a utopic fantasy. And I'm not talking about the religious place. I'm talking about the place where there's literally abundance, high vibration, and food growing everywhere. That is not a utopic fantasy. It's the next logical step for humanity. It's easy to do.
Wow. That's a, that's a lot to unpack here. And I presume that food forest abundance is that way to develop that. You know, we've got a lot of people who are preparedness minded and people who are transitioning from preparedness to that natural next step, which is homesteading, where you turn your preparedness into more of a lifestyle and you're more connected to the earth and nature and growing your own products and livestock even. So can you get into your philosophy on food forest abundance and how that fits into the person who's preparing for disasters?
Absolutely. So growing food is the foundation of freedom, is to have an adequate food supply. And right now, most food in the United States comes from 1,500 miles away. That's the average farm to table. When we've got lawn, we have 40 to 50 million acres of lawn in the United States. The lawn is another one of the pillars of our enslavement, is to grow a monochromatic crop that uses more poisons and more resources than any other crop, covers more land than any other crop, and does not provide food, which is absolutely insane when you really step back from it and say, what the hell are we doing here? So when we can turn 30, 40, 50% of our lawn into perennial edible landscape, I'm also a big fan of annuals, and I'll tell you the difference. Perennials are plants that you plant once and they last two or more years. Most last for generations. In fact, there's an olive tree in the Greek Isle of Crete that was planted over 2,000 years ago that's still producing olives. Annuals, isn't that freaking amazing? I mean, annuals are plants, tomatoes and cucumbers and corn and different things, where you plant it, you harvest it, you have to take a seed and replant. Well, we know GMOs, that they do not produce a next generation, which is also part of the control grid, right? So when we turn, let's just say 50% of our, and people think I hate lawn. I don't hate lawn. What I am for is balance, a balanced, healthy society. So I like lawn. I like laying in the lawn. I just don't want 40 million acres of lawn when we're going through a food supply crisis that is going to be very apparent over the next 6 to 12 months. When we can turn the edges of our properties into perennial food forests, with some annuals mixed in, then the perennial piece of it will actually be less maintenance than a lawn. And I'm going to say that again, because this is where people lose their BS. Their belief systems are very different from this. Fruit trees and berry bushes and different roots and tubers and medicinal plants. When we plant these in guilds or communities of plants that actually support each other, that mimic a natural system, right? Imagine your favorite piece of forest or jungle anywhere in the world, right? How much do you maintain
Not
that?
Not at all. It's God taking care of it.
There you go. that's what a perennial food forest is all about. In fact, there's a bunch of archaeologists got together and have made a claim that the Amazon rainforest is a designed food forest 5,000 years ago. The Incas and the Mayans, but what happens? The food forest is thriving. It's the most abundant place on earth. And that same thing will happen. If you build a food forest in your backyard and you leave for 30 years and you come back now with your grandkids, you're going to have a food forest with no maintenance. Now, yes, you want to increase your yield, do certain things. You can trim, prune, and make it look neat, but you literally don't have to in the type of design that mimics natural systems that we advocate and that we design and install.
Okay, so what kinds of systems are we talking about here? Are we talking about fruits and vegetables that are growing side by side? Are we talking about herbs mixed in? How's that look? Especially considering, you know, some of the people that are listening are living in Europe and they don't have yards like we have here.
Right.
But how does one do that? And how do you create this symbiotic relationship between the various groups of and types of plants?
By studying and observing natural systems. So to get real specific and to help any of your listeners, anybody out there that wants to create your own food forest, you absolutely can. It's very easy. Now, if you follow some basic steps, and the number one thing that most people don't do is ground cover. When you see a black soil garden with the sun and the wind and the rain beating directly on the soil, that is not a natural system. When you go out into the woods, you're stepping on leaves and sticks and moss and all sorts of different layers of food before you get to the soil. So you want to cover your soil with compost, with mulch, with wood chips, or something that creates that microbiome, that layer of life between the soil and the decomposing organic matter of it. And so that's number one. The other thing is you definitely need to catch and store water. When you can slow down the water on a property, instead of having it rain and then a flood washes away the topsoil, washes away the nutrients and just leaves your property, you create these very simple ditches on contour. They could be a foot wide or they could be 10 feet wide. But what it does is it slows down and allows the water to seep in, but not just the water. It allows the nutrients to also store specifically where you want them stored. And then plant your fruit trees and your berry bushes and all your edibles in that area. And the other thing is nitrogen fixers and pollinator attractors, right? So flowers. Flowers are a great part of any system. If they also are edible and create great smells and they're beautiful, then you're stacking functions. And that's what a permaculture system does, is it stacks the benefits of using all of the functionality of the God-given natural amazing system that we have, but in a designed way to capitalize on maximum yield and maximum output. In fact, a sustainable system is a system that produces more energy than it takes to create and maintain. A regenerative system is one that will actually expand rapidly on the abundance that is available. And it's magic to see these systems.
Man, there's just so much there. It's tough to try and figure out, okay, what do I want to, you know, try and get clarified first. So soil is your first thing. Let's say, okay, we're going into fall here.
Yes.
What should we be doing right now in our yards to prepare for the fall, for, let's say, you know, next spring's growing season, or even planning now? Yes. that would or could produce something before winter, if there is such a thing.
The first thing everybody should be doing right now is getting wood chips and mulch delivered on your property. 4, 6, 8, 6. The thicker the better, quite frankly. So there's an entity out there called chipdrop.com. It's C-H-I-P-D-R-O-P. And they often have free mulch deliveries and wood chip deliveries because the local tree arborists and tree trimming companies need somewhere to dump the stuff. So if you can get chip drop and drop loads of this on your property, you're going to start building soil, and then the snow is going to fall. It's going to help decompose this stuff, not as fast, of course, as if it were, you know, warmer out, but it'll still start the process of building soil. Soil is job one in a healthy system, in a healthy world. That is what these poison manufacturers, the poison producers, the poison mandators are trying to do. They're trying to destroy our soil, and it's working. Even the criminal UN says we only have two generations left of soil. I wouldn't, other than the fact that agriculturalists and the farmers are saying we're mining and destroying our topsoil, that far exceeds the rate of replenishment.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I remember on one of the videos, you went out to Texas. I spent a lot of time out there with my former job, and I lived in my last place I lived in was San Antonio, which I love that town. So I recognize Central Texas, and your friend out there, you helped him prepare his part of his yard there by putting cardboard down and then putting topsoil over top of that.
Yes. Yes. We like to suppress that. That was Del Bigtree from the High Wire, one of my heroes and an amazing freedom speaker and patriot. And, yes, cardboard is a great way to suppress the current plants, right? Most of the time it's grass. And we want to create an environment where the new plants, the ones that we are, that we want to thrive, have less competition. So a lot of times we use straight cardboard. It's called sheet mulching. And then over that, we put some soil, and over the top of that, we put the mulch. And then when you want to dig in, you want to dig through the cardboard, you want to get to the soil, and then put another good layer of soil around the area with the nutrients that'll help get the plant started.
All right. That's what that was all about. I'm going to have the links in the show notes below, so you'll be able to check out the videos that I've seen as well. So this works in just about any environment, right? Because even in the desert, like in Arizona, there's a certain ecosystem for the plants, right?
Yes. In fact, Jeff Lawton has a video on YouTube called Greening the Deserts of Jordan, in which he goes to one of the most inhospitable places on the planet, where the soil is loaded with salt, it's dry, it doesn't rain for years sometimes. And permaculture principles, and they dug these large swales, and they used the right companion plants and nitrogen fixers. And now they have a food forest in an area where the local agriculture community said it's impossible, it'll never work. And they were using one-fifth the amount of water that the agricultural people there said, you'll have to use five times that much water. And they literally didn't believe it until they saw it in action. And that's what's so important, is we are now demonstrating food forests around the world in 15 countries and 40 states just since launching on Earth Day less than 4 months ago.
Wow, that's great. So can you give us some of the successes that you've experienced during this time? Some of the, you know, just a couple examples so people have a better idea of what your Food Forest Abundance program accomplishes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And first, I give credit to the pioneers who have spent their lives showing us, showing the world, like Bill Mollison and Jeff Lawton and David Holmgren and all of the thousands around the world who have put these systems to use and can show that this is going to be your, by far, your best ROI of any type of agricultural system. The monocultures are radically unsustainable. And this is the flip side of that, where you're going to get very low input and very high yield. So just since we launched, as I mentioned, we're now in 15 countries and 40 states. We have got about 150 food forests that are designed and in process of going into the ground. And every one of these, at least the ones I've talked to, and I've talked to most of these customers directly, they want to use their food forest as a demonstration site to show their neighbors and their networks what's possible. And this is the seed that, with a little bit of nourishment, a little bit of light and love and water, is going to go viral around the world. And we are going to create this amazing society. And we have to. I've got four daughters, and this is the most important transition, because it's literally the transition between life and death, sustainable and unsustainable, good and evil. It's all the same thing. One path is definite destruction, and one path is abundance. And that's the path we're shining a light on.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. You know, the water issue, there's been a lot of reports also that we're running into a water shortage, of clean water shortage. I know there's a lot of places around the world that don't have ready available water like we have. We have a lot of water here, but there's studies that show that that may be changing.
Yeah, so water, you know, I've seen so many studies out there where they say it takes like 10,000 gallons of water to create 1 pound of beef, which is just insane. Water's a mineral. It doesn't go anywhere. I mean, it travels, it changes form, but it doesn't, it's not used and then gone, right? Like some things, you use them and they're gone. Water's not one of those things. So it transfers form. So what we have to do is use natural systems to purify our water. And I'll give you an example. So there, one big tree in a jungle transpires about 500 gallons of water per day into the atmosphere. It sucks it up the trunk of the tree, and it sweats it out through the leaves and through the pores of the tree. Then the rain from the rainforest is actually from the forest. So when we do this mass clear cutting, we literally destroy the circle of life that becomes, it's just so magical. Now, living in Costa Rica for 12 years, and every afternoon for 6 months, it would rain at like 1:20 in the afternoon for an hour, right? Unless it was a storm or something. But that cycle is created by a healthy ecosystem. And what the powers that be want to do, and they've been very successful at it, is manipulating the weather. You know, it was always considered a conspiracy theory that they had weather manipulation, and yeah, now it's mainstream news.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories that have turned out to be very, very true. And so I don't believe in conspiracy theories anymore. I just believe in criminal conspiracies, because that's what they end up being. Yeah. This idea that you have with food forest abundance is fantastic. And can you talk about your website and some of the things that you offer there so that people have an idea what they're going to be finding when they go there?
Absolutely. I'll run you through a couple different processes. So I've spent about 14 years asking the same question. I went down the rabbit hole back in 2007, went through a crazy cognitive dissonance period of my life where I had two competing belief systems in my head, tried to disprove 9/11 was an inside job and all stuff, and I realized it all makes perfect sense now. And so I started asking the question, what's the solution? And I read Bill.
I'm sorry, you're quote, broken up. You're broken up. Can you say that again? You read what?
Sorry. Yes. I read Bill Mollison's quote, though the problems of our world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple. And I started to sob, because I had my first two daughters and I needed to find that solution, right? I'm an optimist, and I also have I believe in, if you can conceive, believe it, you can achieve it.
Right.
Because my whole life has been about that. When I really focus on something, it manifests, if I get my own brain and my own ego out of my way. So we have, over the years, dialed this down to the simplest base form. We help people grow food. We have created a cooperative network of people around the world that go on site and that can actually install food forests. We've also created a network of permaculture food forest designers. And so here's how it goes. Let's say one of your listeners says, I'm interested in growing food. Everything starts with a thoughtful design. So we say, okay, great. We've got a food forest blueprint. We'll get them in touch with one of our professional designers that makes the most sense based on their zone and their goals. And the designer will ask them a bunch of questions and will collect a bunch of data and details. videos, goals, desires, Google Earth, and surveys and measurements and so on. And then our designers, they're architects of sustainable regenerative food systems. So they'll put the details together, including layers of soil, including the different amendments. They'll put together the exact location and type of different plants that go together in these guilds. And they'll present what we call our food forest blueprint. The blueprint is DIYable. About 30% of people want to do their own. And we absolutely love that.
Oh,
in
that's
fact,
great.
Most of those people actually become cooperative, which is a business model. Yeah, capitalism is the voluntary exchange of value. Hmm. We teach regenerative capitalism. That's our business model. It's beneficial on every level. And so the cooperative job is then to, like a landscaper, go to the customer's house, follow the blueprint, and install the food for
it. Great. So can you give us the website and any social media that people can follow to, you know, learn more?
Absolutely. Foodforestabundance.com. So it's FOOD forest, FORESD, abundance.com is our website. And then Food Forest Abundance all over social media and a couple other things. We now have a TV pilot with some famous producers and actors focused around the vision of food forests everywhere. That's starting in September is the shoot date. And It's really fun to see this manifest. And by the way, there's a lot of people that are losing their jobs or voluntarily quitting their jobs because of the forest mandates out there. If you're looking for a career that's profitable and valuable on every level, becoming a food forest installer and cooperative might be right for you.
Wow, that's interesting. So I'm going to have the link for their website at the bottom of the show notes as well as the links for the videos that I watched. And you will have an opportunity to learn a lot more about what Jim Gale has with his Food Forest Abundance. It's a great program. I think you'll be impressed. And I hope a lot of you get involved in some way to make your own Food Forest Abundance at home. Jim, can you give us any closing statements you want to give?
Yes. A couple things. You can do this literally with $20. If you go to the store and buy a bunch of non-GMO organic fruits and veggies, you can save the seeds. You can literally start your own garden, your own food forest, not by spending any extra money, but just using the resources that you have when you buy your own salad mix and food. The other thing is we have a preparedness blueprint also coming out in September that's going to go through a lot of Q&A on how to be prepared for potentiality of what might be coming and an indoor growing system. You mentioned if people don't have a lot of space, we also have indoor food forest blueprints that are focused, of course, on annuals, but that can produce a lot of food.
No, that's great. And there have been a lot of reports that I've been coming across that says that there are some tough times ahead because of supply chains being disrupted and some of the food production has been altered and not going to be as available. We've already seen it locally here with some of the products like lettuce, not regular head lettuce, but you know, the good kind of lettuce. And tomatoes, they're a little harder to find around here. Some of the other things my wife is complaining about not being able to find is indicative that there are already shortages.
Yep.
So, Jim?
That's for sure. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I was just going to say it was a pleasure having you on the show. And civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. It was at the top, but it's the second one down now. So also be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio, on Telegram at Civil Defense Radio Channel, MeWe at Civil Defense Radio, and my YouTube channel, which I haven't been taking care of very well, at Civil Defense Radio Channel. So most of the items we post are important information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. But some of them are helpful hints, like this show here with Jim Gale and his food forest abundance. However, when we find something funny, we will also post that. And I've posted a few on Telegram. Please consider this information and use it wisely in your preparedness planning. I wish to thank Jim Gale and Food Forest Abundance again, and thank you, our American and international friends who listen to us regularly. I really appreciate you being with us this week. So please be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.